This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, fans. I am Zoya. I did a lot better in the past, but this is JT Rosero here with a very special Place to Be Nation pop blast is what I was going to say, because that's what we're doing here tonight. And as you can tell by my terrible Zoya the Destroyer impression, going to be talking some GLOW Season 2, but I can't do that alone. So I do have a duo with me here tonight. They are the co-hosts of Talkin' Pop, plus they appear on many other shows across all of our feeds. So I'm just going to bring them in as one person. Jennifer Smith, Tim Capel, how are you both doing tonight?
We're good. Much good. Better we're than that great. Horrible. Yeah, excellent. Horrible. Accent that you just tried right there.
I'll give you the hammer and suku.
You know, I think as Debbie put it, as she was selling the entire contents of her home, we're just a couple of dildos intertwined, banging together, trying to find something good.
It's a big old junk chain. Fuck yeah. Junk chain.
That too.
All right, GLOW. Jenny, especially to us, because this is one of the first things we talked about the first time we ever spoke on air back in the Halloween episode, if you remember. I guess, Tim, you were there too. But here we are again. So at that point, we had just finished season one. Now we finished season two. So right out of the gate, I'm just going to kind of shoot off the hip here. Did you guys, did you enjoy season two? You want to keep going with the show?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. After, at the end, we're gonna rank. Too. We'll get to that. All right.
Of course. Yeah.
Favorite character from season two, Jenny?
You know, I'm going to go Bash on this one.
Yeah?
Ooh.
Yeah. He carried a lot of the emotional weight, along with Betty, I guess, but he just had a real heavy storyline, and I thought he just acted the shit out of it. He was really, really good. I love the wedding episode. He was so wonderful in that.
How about you, Tim? Who's your favorite character?
Bash is a pretty good pick and a surprising one from Jenny. I can get on board with that potentially, but I think I am going to go a little bit different track and say Tamay, Welfare Queen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She, while we didn't see a ton from her this season, she did get a really good spotlight episode. It's like episode 4 or 5, kind of in that first half, that was kind of carried on these parallel stories that were told through the lens of, I guess, motherhood with Tamay and Debbie. And just some interesting stuff explored there that you don't see, certainly, in a lot of, you know, American dramatic television, and you wouldn't necessarily expect from something like this. So just on the strength of that episode, I really like that. And her character too is just, when you get past, you know, the caricature, of course, she's just someone who seems very, very warm and friendly and likable. So just everything about her, I was, and little things that she would do as well throughout the season. Not necessarily so much what she was saying, but what she would do through her actions.
She's a real wrestler, right?
Yeah, Karma. She's not wrestling anymore, but she was. She was Awesome Kong in TNA, where she was probably most famous and had her best matches. And then she was very, very briefly in WWE as Karma. She got pregnant, right? Or did she fake the pregnancy, Tim? Do you remember what was the whole deal with that? It was really bizarre, right?
It was very bizarre. She,
or she had a miscarriage, but kept saying she
was
pregnant.
Well, she was actually pregnant, but they either didn't know or she didn't know. There was some weird situation where she wrestled for a minute while she was evidently pregnant, and then of course she disappeared, went off air very quickly, and no one really knew why. And then it was like, oh well, she's actually pregnant. Okay, good for her. Congratulations. And you're right. I mean, it did seem to have a fairly tragic ending in that I'm not sure whether she miscarried or actually had a stillbirth.
It was something like that, but then she lied. Like, there was something weird in there, too, where She didn't like she lied and said she was still pregnant even though she hadn't been. It was like she had like real emotional issues from it. But anyway, that did, she went back to TNA after that though, right? Didn't she for a bit?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I kind of lost track of her after that.
Well, she's come back here and has been a force of nature on this show. She was going to be my choice if we did like a breakout kind of thing because her bump from season one to two was pretty substantial. When she won the crown at the end of season one, it was kind of like they did it as a swerve. But now she really takes on more of like a lead role. I think my favorite was probably Ruth. I thought there was a lot more to her this season. They gave her a lot more depth. And like I really dug the whole, you know, when she gets her leg, like the turn of her, like she's always kind of been the favorite of the locker room. But then I feel like she kind of lost some of it. And then like she's kind of always back and forth. And I thought it was like a real growth moment for her when, you know, she gets her leg snapped and like everyone just rallies around her. And like, it's really touching in the hospital where they're all coming in and signing the cast. And there was like a funny bit where they're all coming in and doing different things to entertain her, get all the stuff with her and Sam. And then her realization at the prom that, you know, she really just wants a no bullshit guy. And that's Russell. So like, I thought all of that plus obviously, Tom Grant, the, network producer, like all that stuff trying to bang her at the hotel. So like there was a lot of kind of deep stuff with her. And I thought that was one of the more poignant stories that they told in this season was around the sexism that was going on during that time and how rampant it was. And, you know, and Debbie basically saying you should have banged him to keep the time slot and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought she had a lot of good, like kind of deep stuff. And I really did. Like, I think she's really good in the Zoya character. She really nails it. And actually, you know, let's transition because there's one episode I really wanted to talk about and it was one of my favorites of the season. Others did not enjoy it, and I think it was probably a love it or hate it, and that is where they do basically the full episode is an actual episode of the show, right? So they do like a whole bunch of crazy skits. Was that, I think it was 18? Yeah, the good twin, 18. So it's a mix of skits, the big match, and then also like local ads and commercial. Like it was basically like just a 1980s local network TV show. So I think you're either going to have an affinity for that nostalgia or you're probably just going to be bored to death by it. Cause it wasn't, there was really no story progression. It was literally just an episode of Glow. I thought the Zoya stuff was really funny here and well done, over the top. I liked how they did all the vignettes, and I'm just a mark for like local ads and like, you know, some of the stuff they were doing. And then they did the music video. Like it felt like a really cool 80s variety show. Did you guys dig that episode or were you on the other side of the fence?
For me, I would say I was sort of almost primed to dislike that episode because I'm the type of person that with a series of this nature, it's 10 episodes a season, they're 30-minute episodes, you don't have a lot of slack in terms of doing departures from your main storyline, which absolutely this was. As you said, there was no real storyline progression, so part of me was thinking, is this really what we're going to do? I'm not sure. It's kind of going to hurt the momentum here in the back half of the show. But it was so well done, and it did serve a purpose in showing you what, I guess, a typical episode or experience with this program, Glow, within the universe of the show itself was like. But it was just so easy to get into. The way it was put together, like you said, it was just kind of infectious in a way. So I couldn't fault it at all.
I thought too there was some. I really thought there was some like insightfulness, like because it's kind of the turning point, right? The episode before is where Sam finally kind of like opens up more, right? He says, "Ruth, we can't do it without you," and he's, "Fuck it, we're getting canceled anyway, so everyone's gonna get a shot." So it's kind of like he's finally getting rid of the starfucker mentality, right? And he's just like, you know, like, all right, everyone, you all deserve to be on as we wrap up. So, that to me was actually the crux of the episode, was showcasing that now they're giving everyone some shine, right? So, Britannica, Black Magic, you know, like, all of a sudden they're all getting moments in the sun to get out there and do, like, goofy shit and these skits. So I thought that was, like, it was kind of a bow on Sam's development. What did you think, Jenny?
I agree. I loved that episode. It was hilarious. And then, like, because Sam, I mean, he's been a dick this whole time, basically, but he had, like, really doubled down on, like, being a complete cunt, especially to Ruth. And so, and I, you know, I love me some Mark Maron. So I was like, I don't like this. It took me like several episodes to warm up to the season. Mm-hmm. And then by the time they got to that episode, I was like, okay, this is what I wanted, because he was done. Like you said, he just like, okay, we're going to do what we do best here. And they did. I love that episode.
Yeah. So let's spend a moment on Sam. What did you think of his whole arc with his daughter and him kind of coming to the realization, obviously he's in love with Ruth. And, you know, kind of didn't have the balls to say it for a while. And then as soon as he's ready, of course, she's kind of just done with the drama. So did you see, like, was there more to him this season than you thought in season one, Jenny?
Yeah, definitely. And it broke my heart because I shipped them really hard. So I was like, oh, no. And but then that other guy, Russell, was really cute, too, and really sweet to her and stuff. So I was like, oh, no. What am I going to do here? But that scene at the dance was just like, oh my God. And I thought they were going to make out, but they didn't. And then with his daughter, all that stuff was just really cool. Like, seeing him gradually just come to love her and kind of depend on that relationship, even though she's a pain in the ass. And he has one of the most amazing lines and scenes in the whole season where he's like, you know, you let somebody in and then they leave and then the space is still there. And I was just like, bawling like an idiot. he was awesome. And Mark Maron is this person who's like, I feel like he's not an actor. Like, I feel like that Sam is him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he is that character and he can do that role just so right. It just is so authentic to him. I love it.
That line that you mentioned had not quite the same effect on me. I wasn't bawling or choked up, but it did strike me as, wow, that is something really poignant that you would not expect to hear from this character. And it probably could or would sound corny coming from anyone else, but his delivery is just so there. It was such a Sam line / Mark Maron line.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I, Jenny, were comparing notes and kind of along similar lines earlier in the season saying, wow, you know, he is such a shitbag and it's really difficult to sympathize with him on any level, just the way he was acting in those first few episodes. And you're like, are they really trying to sell us on this character and think that this is charming in any way? Because it sure isn't. And he needs some kind of redemptive arc in order to become like a salvageable, workable character here. And they did it. I did think it was a little bit abrupt. Mm-hmm. Like, I get the whole Justine living with him kind of softened him, brought out his more parental instincts, you know, the stuff with Ruth. She like went to a screening of one of his movies with them, something like that. Which again, I was like, really, that's kind of it. But I mean, these are nitpicky things. That's kind of me being me in the way that I watch stuff. At the end of the day, they did make a real big turnaround in his character and, got me to really to buy into him and his relationships with these women. And that he's not just this, as you said, starfucker type guy. And I won't say I was shipping him and Ruth. I actually admired the restraint that they showed when he went in for the kiss and she like buffed him. It's this cringe moment. And then later in the season, she's in the finale, as a matter of fact, she's telling him about her date with Russell, evidently. And you would expect him to kind of blow up or act like a passive aggressive dick, retreat into his old ways, and that's not what he did at all. He showed a lot of restraint and maturity, and I admired that. It was good stuff with that character in that arc.
Yeah, I'm thinking season three we'll probably see him slip back, right? Because he's burying that. I'm sure that, you know, we'll get it probably another half season heavy in a dick and then and go from there.
Well, I almost feel like he's due for an addiction storyline, maybe, right?
Yeah,
they do those things with these characters in these shows.
Well, they kind of teased it with Debbie a little bit, right? I mean, doing the coke and then nearly killing Ruth. When did you guys hit a trust factor yet with this show? And by that, I mean, like, like Tim, you mentioned, you know, you were kind of annoyed with the way they present Sam, and then they like, have you hit the point yet where, all right, like, I got to that point pretty early on, like when I was doing my Breaking Bad binge, where you're like, okay, I just trust that they're going to do the right thing at some point. Have you, did either of you hit that during the season? Like, are you like, just kind of give yourself up to the show knowing that you can have faith that, you know, things are going to make sense and come full circle and be well done? I feel like right around halfway is when I finally just kind of said, okay, I think we're at the point with this show being such high quality that you can have that faith in it.
Yeah, I did, but it like you, it was later. It was the hospital episode where I was finally like, okay, yes, this is good. Because I was worried. I was like, I feel like season one is kind of kicking this season's ass until that episode.
Agreed. I think if you could point to any one single turning point in the season, it would be that that hospital room confrontation between Ruth and Debbie, where, holy shit,
acting,
that was incredible.
Yeah, it's what two people that are really into the character, right? Just deep into the character. And we did get to see Debbie naked this season too, so that was something.
Yeah, we did.
True.
So this is one area that I was actually swerved on. Did you think that, or I mean, I guess it could still come out, but is Bash gay? I'm wondering. When they were first, like he was kind of dumb playing, you know, they kind of had me dumb that Florian was gay, right? In a way. I didn't know if we were going to get the, like, he realizes he's in love with him thing. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know if that was coming and he was kind of burying it with the, you know, relationship with the girl, you know, trying to date the girls and being real good friends with Machu Picchu and like all that stuff. So I didn't know if it seemed like it was coming and like they totally caught me off guard when he died, before he had died. I thought we were headed toward him finding him and realizing, like, he loved him or whatever. Like, that's where I thought that was headed.
Yeah, I'm still confused about that.
I can feel like
there's more coming. I thought it was a pretty straightforward, okay, they're disambiguating this character now, because there was a little bit of is he, isn't he coming out of that first season. And we see that he's obviously very attached to Florian, his quote-unquote butler, and I like the little episode where he and Carmen, I believe it was, go around the different clubs looking for him, and you know, from that you read, all right, they're lovers, clearly that's what's going on here. And then it sort of, you know, got dropped for a little bit. He had run off. You didn't know what the resolution was going to be, and then they just kind of drop the hammer on you with the ultimate fate. Yeah, spoilers. Florian died. Of evidently AIDS complications.
Yeah.
And you saw Bash really retreat into his own head. There seems to be a lot of, it's not so much this guy's in the closet, he's really in denial.
Right.
And you had a big, like, kind of AIDS panic scene, which it's the 80s. This was heavy, serious stuff. He's freaking out. He's having all of Florian's personal items removed and the room basically sanitized, I guess. There is one thing, one lingering question I kind of had. He himself did not seem that worried, you know, wondering, hey, should I get tested or anything? So
really? Because I kind of felt like he was, but then I didn't know.
I think it's innocent. Sure. Like, I don't think... I feel like that's, they haven't hinted at any, like, I don't think anything ever happened with the two of them. When I thought, like, they may reveal him as being gay, it was that I just thought he's going to realize he loves, you know, like, that it's, like, he's just been aloof to it this whole time, and then it kind of clicks. And I'm still not going to be surprised if it goes that way. Like, I feel like that's the potential end of his marriage with Britannica, is that he realizes he's gay. Like, I still think that could happen. And that, you know, brings an end to their marriage. And were you surprised as well, too, with Carmen, like, is there going to be more there, too? Because she clearly has a thing for him, right? And she, like, they almost hint that she's heartbroken at first, but then she's, like, perfectly fine throughout the rest of it. So, like, I don't know. I feel like we're going to get something more there, too, because there's obviously something with her. So I feel like Bash, like, I don't think he ends up married to Britannica in the end. Like, right? He's either going to come out or he's going to end up with Carmen. Like, that's, I think those are the two endpoints for him.
There is a third possibility that occurred to me last night.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I mean, okay, a fourth possibility, but where I was going with it was, since he did not seem to be so worried over the fact that, you know, this AIDS is a thing that he may potentially have to deal with in his own life, maybe he's asexual, which is not something. Well, yeah, we see he's a little bit arrested in his development, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know, you know, that's not really, that would be kind of a groundbreaking characterization. I think shows tend to shy away from that because they think it eliminates a lot of dramatic possibilities. And I guess in some respects it does, but with a cast this large and this varied, you could certainly have a character like that. So I don't know, maybe that's where they end up taking him. And it's not a case of is he or isn't he, he's not. He's right. Just so that remains to be seen. But I think you're right in that this marriage to Rhonda / Britannica is very much for show, going to be a sham. He's kind of self-deluding right now. And we'll see where it goes. But as Ruth pointed out, Rhonda married a millionaire without a prenup, so.
Mm-hmm.
But is he a millionaire? I feel like that was the one inconsistency I had trouble with. Was like, I feel like every other episode, he's either broke or he's got money again. Like, it was very, I know he's getting some kind of allowance, but it was kind of weird. Like, I feel like that kind of oscillated based on the need of the story.
True. It did. We didn't really see, did we see Birdie this season?
No.
His grandmother?
Mother. Yeah.
His mom?
Yeah.
Wow. So we didn't really see her, but he did seem to have some money troubles. But then when they're all at the hospital, he's saying, don't worry about it. All bills are going to be covered. None of you have insurance. And he was like, not really sweating it. So you're right. I mean, it is a little bit inconsistent. We'll have to see where that goes as well.
Jenny, did you think that this is the end until you got to the final episode? Like, was that, because I was feeling that way. I thought, like, I think I even was talking to you guys about it or whatever, but like in the last few episodes, I was kind of like, oh, this is, you know, it seems like this is going to be the end. And they're going to wrap up after two seasons. And then obviously the swerve at the end where the strip club guy comes through. So what was your feeling throughout that? Like, did you feel that it was just a swerve or, you know, were you afraid that this was it?
Yeah, I was worried about that. And then, you know, I could see it going both ways. I'm like, okay, obviously all these actors probably have tons of other projects to get to, like, logically.
Right.
And I could see them just doing two seasons and being really successful and then, you know, dipping out. But then, like you said, there's all this hope at the end. And you're like, oh, okay, so we are going to do another season. But I feel like we probably will have to wait longer for season three, because we didn't have to wait very long between seasons one and two, so I think they might drag it out a little bit.
What do you think, Tim? Were you expecting it to end when they were kind of hitting the home stretch?
I sort of assumed that there would be a third season coming just based on the fact that this has been a fairly well received, you never know how quote-unquote successful Netflix shows are, but it seemed like this was in their upper echelon of original programs. So I felt like there would be a third season, but to Jenny's point, yeah, it could be a little while. I mean, look at Stranger Things. Which, yeah, yep. That probably bummed you out as much as me.
Yeah, it did.
So, I don't know. Yeah, Allison Brie certainly is going to be a busy person here in well, I guess she's kind of done. She's probably wrapped her filming for the MCU stuff, but still, very in-demand actress. So, and yeah, I would imagine this has raised the profile of all the performers in the show.
Including Horatio Sands, who I thought was very good as a strip club owner.
There you go.
He was very good.
You know, like, he had like this comforting smile the whole time. He was just a very happy man. All right.
That
so,
Vegas Ex Machina ending a little bit.
Yeah, so four questions I'm gonna throw at you before we wrap up. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. One is we're gonna rank the seasons. Two is we're gonna rank the people. But before that, give me real quick your thoughts on season three, like kind of what happens. Anything like that jumps out at you? Any major developments?
So they're in Vegas, so there's gotta be some gambling, some like maybe an elopement, like a mm-hmm. a wedding, maybe.
Elopement, is that a word?
You know, I don't know. What the fuck? Go to the Little White Chapel in Vegas while you're drunk and get married. That's what people do. And yeah, what else? I like the addiction idea. There's got to be something to that, because.
But maybe it's gambling. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. You know, maybe Sam falls, you know, starts gambling to kind of bury himself and ends up blowing his money or something.
Mm-hmm. Along those lines, yeah, some kind of addiction arc for somebody. I'm leaning Sam, but you never know. Oh, gosh. Yeah, as you mentioned with Carmen, maybe possibly having some feelings for Batch beyond friendship. She did appear rather disappointed by that abrupt wedding, but maybe she will settle into a nice friendship groove. And I kind of like to see them as, you know, confidants in a sense, because mm-hmm. they are such people from such very different walks of life. I mean, my gosh. So I do want to see more of them and their relationship, friendship, however you want to put it.
And also really cool wrestling. How about that? That'd be great.
They did get better in this season. I think it was pretty good.
That's right.
The fight with, as much as I hate Chavo, the stuff with him and Carlito in the finale was pretty good.
I was going to ask you about that. How did you feel about the Chavo?
God, I wish it was someone else. But I don't mind seeing him get his ass kicked by women in the 80s. That was fun. How long do you guys think we stick with Ruth and Russell? Like, I feel like that's the... We're kind of getting the Jim and Pam thing. You know, so I feel like some here in season three, we're getting the, you know, she dumps Russell and asks Sam out for the date, right? Walks in the office and says, "Are you free tonight?" kind of thing. So, like, I feel like we're getting that in this season. Yes, I mean, they have to. They can't drag it out too much.
Nah. The long distance thing is not going to work.
Nah.
I think that's going to fizzle quickly.
Yeah. It just comes down to whether he does something and is a jerk to her, or if she just realizes it on her own.
They just have too much chemistry, Ruth and Sam do.
It's definitely happening.
It's just so obvious.
Do we go season four? So I was thinking about the original Glow once I realized this thing's headed for three, and that lasted four seasons. So I feel like we're going to get four seasons of this, right? So my prediction is we go 3-4, and then that's it. And it ends with the show ending, and we kind of get what everyone's doing now. Sam and Ruth end together, and whatever, you know. So do you guys agree? Do you feel like we're going to have the same way, just kind of mirror what the actual thing did, or do you think they'll just keep going?
That makes sense. I like that idea.
Yeah, four seasons does sound about right for something like this. I mean, I guess they could keep it going, but it's going to get tough to, mm-hmm. to push it beyond that.
Right, because what are they going to do? They're already, you know, are they going to get TV back? You know, it's weird. It's
like, yeah. Right. Yeah.
What are they going to do? All right. Season
start getting signed by Vince McMahon. I mean, you can't really fly under the radar here for so long. And
they could have one of them get signed. Like, that'd be interesting if they say one of them got called up and they kind of do like a "you sold out" kind of thing. Like, you know, "Oh, really? You're selling out on us" kind of angle. I guess they could do something like that. It'd be interesting.
Maybe like a Tony Schiavone, like a cameo.
Probably not.
There you go.
Season one versus season two, Tim.
You know what? I am going to give it to season two by the narrowest of margins, really for the backstretch of season two. They unlike a lot of these Netflix original shows, it got better as it went along. So I'm going to give the nod to season two.
Jenny?
Same for me. Yeah, it was rough there for a little bit and I wasn't sure, but yeah, they did pull it out season two.
Yeah, I agree. I think season two just had the deeper performances. I mean, as you get to know the characters better, like, that's a big part of it, too. Like, there's more depth to them, and the camaraderie is tighter between them. And, yeah, it just felt a little heavier at times, like I thought. You know, in the first season, we had the abortion stuff and all that. But this, I felt like had more gravity behind it, a lot of what was going on in this episode. So, yeah, I liked season two the best. What was your favorite episode of the season, Jenny?
The hospital one.
Yeah. Tim?
I like the one with Tammy and Debbie.
Yeah.
Being moms.
That was good. And I kind of like the finale, but yeah, I like the hospital too. Those are probably the two best. And then
the hospital one, though. Yeah, you're right. That's so good.
And then the eighth one that we talked about. It's hard to say it's the best of the season, but I really, really enjoyed it.
Right, right.
All right. Give me your top five characters, and then we're out of this thing, Jenny. Overall, for the whole show, not just this season.
From 5 to 1 or 1 to 5?
Your choice.
All right. One, I got to go Sam because Mark Maron. Two, Ruth. 3, Debbie. 4, Bash. 5, Tamay.
Tamim?
Whatever her name is.
No, I'm saying Tamay. Tamim's up.
Yeah.
Tamay.
Tamim. Ooh, this is tough. All right. Best is going to be, for series as a whole to date, it's going to be Ruth. Then I will go, I guess Sam. And then Tamay. And then Debbie. And as kind of a dark horse pick, I will say Beirut, whose shoot name I cannot recall at the moment. Thought she was a little bit of a breakout in the second
she
season.
She was. Mm-hmm.
She's a sweetheart. I like her.
Yeah. I did too.
No love for poor Sheila the Wolf.
I like Sheila too.
I like Sheila, yeah. Well, here's one thing that was missing in the second season a little bit. I wish there was more just downtime between the girls like we saw in that first season. We're all just hanging out at the motel and the fucking Ethel and Edna Rosenblatts or whatever are crank calling Melrose and she's just losing her shit.
I hated the fucking Biddies, though. I was glad they changed that up. So as I get a wrestling fan level, I couldn't stand like old women being in there. It just made no fucking sense. All right. Ruth is my one. Daddy Sam, I guess, would be number two. I go back and forth on Debbie. Like, I think she's just really good at pretending she doesn't want to be part of any of this. Like, so it almost makes it seem like the actress herself doesn't. You know what I mean? And I actually don't like Liberty Bell. Like, she's, like, way too over the fucking top. You know what I mean? Like, like Zoya and some of these other ones are, like, over the top. But, like, Liberty Bell, this is, like, extremely
she's
over the top.
Too earnest. And she almost, for a lot of the series, she kind of didn't get it.
Right.
Like, she was too much a mark for herself, as they say.
Yeah. So I don't know. And I mean, Misha's really good at playing the character, right? But it kind of feels like a little bit like it's actually her. So I'm going to go Bash 3. And her 4. I want to give some love to Keith Bang, the referee, because he makes me laugh.
Nice.
So I'm making him my 5th. And then Tamay, but she's really good. But Keith is like kind of the grounding he's always kind of keeping everything smooth. Like, he's really funny with his, you know, comments in the ring when he's refereeing, and his facial expressions, and like he's the way he calms down. What's her name? Cherry is really cool too. Like, you know, he's really supportive of the whole thing, and he's just really cool. Like, I just dig him. So I'm gonna give him some love as my number 5.
Bit of an unsung hero. You're right.
Yeah. Plus, he's an awesome name. That's a legendary name, Keith Bang. All right. Any final thoughts before we wrap up? Where would you rank this right now in your favorite shows, Jenny?
Oh God. I don't know. Top 25% of favorite shows.
Okay. What's your excitement level when it's like when it drops? Like, were you instant? I have to watch this? Is it a, you know, like where's it at?
Yeah. I was really pissed off that I couldn't watch it like right when it dropped, and I had to, it was probably what, like 2 weeks before I managed to get around to it. And every day I was like, we need to start Glow. We need to start Glow. But we just couldn't. So excited when we finally did.
Yeah, like for me, I paused my Better Call Saul binge watch catch up to like bang through Glow. Partly because I knew like I didn't want to get spoiled, and because a lot of people watch it in our group. Partially because I wanted to do something like this, but also partially because I really wanted to watch it. So it's pretty high for me right now. Obviously, it'd be a while for watching again. How about you, Tim? Where's it check in?
Yeah, it's funny you should ask. After the first season, I thought, well, that was perfectly good regular television, you know what I mean? And in terms of, there's so much so-called prestige TV out there, you don't have to look far to find stuff that is just like cream of the crop type good. And you have a lot to watch, even if you're being a snob and saying, well, I'm only going to watch this, this, and this. So within that context, it was like not the best show on television, on Netflix, whatever you want to say kind of thing. But it snuck up on me this year. I found myself thinking, oh, you know, Glow's about to come back, and hadn't thought about it in a while, but I'm really looking forward to it. And as we talked about, I thought they stepped their game up this season. So I don't know. Is it like a favorite of mine? Maybe too soon to say. At the same time, there's not a whole lot to watch.
How disappointed would you be if it got canceled and that was it?
I'd be bummed, yeah. Really.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I would think gone way too soon.
And one thing we didn't mention too is like the 80s nostalgia is really strong. Like the soundtrack is like top notch. I mean, they really mm-hmm. kill it. It's funny because you mentioned Stranger Things earlier. There's like kind of an interesting comp between the two, right? With all the 80s nostalgia. Mm. Both are really good at mixing in the music and kind of the look of the time and the wardrobe and just everything to do with it. But
Sam's house is very 80s.
but I think the soundtrack for Glow is like one of its best qualities. Like they really nail it up and down with all the music right up until the finale. So, all right, that'll do it. So we'll be back. We'll talk to each other in a year or so when season 3 comes back. But I'm sure we'll do other stuff here. So be sure to subscribe to all of our feeds on iTunes, PlayStation Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Only, and PlayStation Nation Pop, where you get cool pop blasts like this and plenty of other pop-related shows like Talk and Pop with you guys. The most recent episode with Stacey O'Loughlin, that's the winner, so check that out. Lots of comic stuff. Veritable heaven of comics material for all of you. Plus our NBA show, some sports content, all right here on the PlayStation Pop feed. So PlayStation.com each and every day. Follow us on social media, Facebook.com/PlayStation. And also, PTM Pop has its own Facebook page, too, so you can get in on the conversations there. Anything you guys want to plug while we're here before we wrap up?
I think you handled it.
Okay.
Yes. Got us together nicely.
All right. Mm-hmm. There we go. All right. We're out. Goodbye. Until next time. I'm so glad I found you. I'm not going to lose you. Whatever.